I could listen to that all morning. That's really cool. Our tech guru, Jesse Filer, is here with a 10-point list of what to do and look for when creating a website, particularly a nonprofit website. Jesse Filer is an app developer, consultant, trainer, and author. His latest book is iOS App Development for Dummies. Is that really your latest book?
Yes.
Okay, good. His apps include Minutes Machine. You write them rapidly, and I want to make sure my information was correct. His apps include Minutes Machine, the iPad-based app for managing meetings, agendas, and minutes, and Saranac River Trail app. And he can be reached at northcountryconsulting.com, where he puts up links and kind of guides us through what we're going to be talking about this morning. And we thank you very much for being with us.
Good to be here.
It seems over our many, many years together doing these segments that we must have talked about putting together a web page, but it seems like it was many, many moons ago, and I don't remember conversing about it. But it is something that is very important and first and foremost. And I remember initially a long time ago talking about how to build your first one. And now we're assuming that people will be updating one, right?
Yeah, in fact, the idea for this segment came when I realized I seem to be involved with several nonprofit boards. I attribute that probably to an axe murder in my previous life.
You're paying for it.
Is that what you're saying? Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And three groups, which shall remain nameless, are looking at websites that they have and have had for a while and trying to figure out what to do with them. They are all having the same problems. And since my point is that I'm on a board to try to contribute to the nonprofit board,
right,
not to do technical work.
Right.
So I say, you know, let's deal with board issues, not websites. And you can find the information anywhere you want. And I decided, let's put some information out there so that they can find it. Because it is very different today, because people are looking at websites are different, and we're sort of out of sync because people are still talking about websites when I think they should be talking about the whole communication structure.
Meaning a website is only one part of it.
One part. And social media, of course, is another part. And the website is, and this is something that sometimes it's hard for people to realize because time has gone by, and the website is sometimes the most expensive and least efficient way of communicating of the various ones that are out there.
Is it home base, though? Is it sort of the baseline? Is it sort of where all things kind of grow out of?
It is in many, many cases. So it's essential. But to say that it, for a nonprofit, to say that it is, that's their communication tool. Thank you very much. See you next year.
Right.
Doesn't really work.
It's hard for me to believe that here we are, so many years after the advent of this technology, that every once in a while, far more frequent than I would think or would want, I go on a website and I will hit an events page and the last thing posted was in 2007.
That sort of thing happens, I'm afraid, on good websites.
Yes.
Events from before the year 2000 are particularly noticeable.
Right.
Because the first two digits are different. Absolutely, absolutely. That's one of the 10 points. And I put that on the website, but, you know, anyone who wants to look at 10 points, there they are. We can just pick up on a couple of them. Before you decide to have a website, I tell people, figure out how you're going to update it.
Right.
And that's not really a technical issue. If you're going to say that you have a newsletter or something on the website that says, here's the latest news from such and such an organization, sit down and figure out, nothing to do with technology, how much news can you deliver? If your news happens to be one organizational meeting a year and everything else is just routine operations, don't say you're launching a weekly newsletter, because you can't deliver.
Right.
And things like that. Everyone says, I want a website with this and this and this and this. And we look at what it costs to have someone come in and design it, but you have to figure out how it's going to be updated and what needs to be updated. If you can structure it in such a way that you say, this part of the website really doesn't need to be updated, you're in a very good spot, because then you can use the more flexible tools, the cheaper tools, the social media tools often, to update the stuff that needs frequent updating.
And there's the other pet peeve of mine is where you go to a website and it has about, and you read about them, and then you read about their mission, and then who they are and how to contact them, and then there'll be something about events or links, and you click on that page and it says coming soon.
Yes. But that's part of the same thing.
Right.
Don't promise something you can't deliver, and that you can't deliver on the schedule that you state or imply.
So one of your top 10 things on the list, one of your top 10 items on the list is create a strategy that includes push and pull technologies. What would qualify as a push and pull technology?
A pull technology is something where people ask for the information.
Okay.
And the simplest example is a website.
All right.
If you put something up on your website, it's like a tree falling in the forest. You know, who sees it? they see it the next time they come to your website. And for most websites, and I would venture for, you know, when we're in on the inside of an organization, a business or a nonprofit, it seems very important to us.
Yeah.
And we may look at the website, you know, every half hour. But many of the people who, members of the organization, look at it when they remember it, you know, maybe once a month if there are monthly meetings, or if there are people who stumble on it from a search and they say, oh, what is this organization about? They look at it and it can be very useful to them, and they may never come back. So this whole notion of, you know, just saying we put it on the website, that's it, is not good enough. Some of the other technologies where there is more interaction, like Facebook and Twitter, where people follow someone or are friends with someone or like an organization, whatever, so they do get certain information that's pushed to them.
I love the statement you have in here that don't put information that really nobody's asking for until they ask for it. So if you're going to put up things on how to contact the board, we'll put that up when people ask.
Well, not just that. Don't just put up information without suggesting how it can be used.
Right. So if you want to contact us about this particular project,
here's what you do.
Right.
And contact members of the board for this, contact director for that, you know, and so forth. But just saying, here are the members of the board with their photos, maybe it makes the members of the board feel good, but it's not useful.
Because when I'm looking to contact someone, I look at this myriad of photos and say, okay, but which one do I click on to answer the question that I have?
Yes. And of course, then you start pushing things and you look at these photos and you say, who looks sympathetic?
Looks like they can help me.
Yeah, and they may read the bios to see that. So it's you know, just make it. I hate to use the word actionable, but that's the correct word.
And I
just don't put stuff out there.
I've seen that where it's been very actionable, where people will say, if you are asking a question about this, 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 and this, this is who you go to.
Right.
If you have a question about this, 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 and this, boom.
Right.
And I think, well, that's very helpful.
Yes.
And I often find exactly the thing I'm looking for is actually one of those suggestions, and I feel very good.
And with regard to a nonprofit website or even a business website, saying if you have a question about this or this, go here, that or that, go there, also lets people know what the organization can do.
It's fascinating to me, and I apologize. I'm going to get off the subject just for a moment, and I promise I'll get right back onto
it
because it's a semi rant. But and that is because we're talking a lot about nonprofits. To me, some of the worst websites that I have encountered, and I say this both as a journalist and as a citizen, are municipal websites for the cities, towns, counties, villages, of which I communicate with, let's say, it's amazing to me because those are the ones where you say, well, okay, is the transfer station open on Saturday? That seems to me to be a simple question.
If you have something that you put aside in the back of the garage for months and have forgotten to take it to the transfer station and you want to take it next Saturday,
right,
it will be closed.
Yeah.
That is how it works.
That is the rule of thumb. Absolutely. There's some holiday I wasn't aware of that is going to close the dump
on
Saturday.
But it only closes it if you need it. And that applies not just to transfer stations, but to many other services in the commercial world as well as. But why are they often not terrific?
I think because you wonder if you're in a municipality where perhaps they pick up your garbage Monday's a holiday. Normally Monday is your garbage pickup day, and you say, oh, I wonder if I put out the garbage this week or if I put it out Tuesday, which is sometimes the case. And that information has not been communicated. I would think that would be something that would be on your village website.
Yes. And it's
or could be.
That is also the sort of thing, in thinking about a website, you get to, when you bring something like that up, that the answer may be, it is on the website. You just didn't know where to look.
Which is fair, but then why isn't it rather easy to find it?
Why isn't it perhaps, again, this applies to all types of websites, why isn't it perhaps on the website in three or four places? It's a temporary notice. You know, the regular schedule, I don't mind looking for, but saying, you know, is the day after Thanksgiving a regular garbage pickup day?
Right.
One of the most frequently discussed topics in small communities, large ones.
Yeah. Snow emergencies, same thing.
Yeah. So it just put it there on three or four times. Why are those sites sometimes not great? This is a difficult question to answer because I don't want to unduly offend everyone.
Yeah. I feel your pain, but go ahead. I'm here for you.
Sometimes there are mandates of what has to be presented on the web to the public.
Right.
And they may come from state government. They may come from the chairman of the board of a private company. The mandate comes down and says, do this.
Mm.
And the person who is charged with doing that has very little input in many cases. I mean, this is the nature of hierarchies.
Right.
You know, someone sees, I don't know, we all know this. We've lived through it on both sides
right.
Sometimes.
They're trying to get blood from a stone, and sometimes there isn't enough stones or blood to be given at that particular
moment. And in all
moment.
Fairness, some of us who are involved with nonprofits, and I think I include both of us, both of us have on occasion, I think, been on the other side of it where we have said, well, why don't you do such and such? And then you can hear they leave the room slowly and respectfully, and you can hear them screaming in the other room.
Right.
You know. But part of it is that resources aren't provided. The enthusiasm that the mandator has may not be communicated down to the mandatee. You know, so that's one of the. It's not simply a municipal problem. It's a problem across the web.
You're absolutely right, and it's one of those things where what we in our mind about what our expectations are, if this nonprofit is going to have an app, that I would expect this information to be available on that app, and often it isn't. And you think, well, then okay, why did you bother? You make the point in one of your 10 items is to make your app mobile friendly. And is that something that is difficult in the programming, or can easily be rectified if you know what you're doing?
Anything is easy if you know what you're doing.
Okay. Yes.
Nuclear physics is easy if you know what you're doing.
It's a very good point.
I thought you knew that.
I had a hint, but I wonder then why it's not done more. Because sometimes, and then there's the other issue too of when they are mobile, they seem to be more clunky. Sometimes.
Okay. Here's one of the issues that happened. And this is why this actually is a very good time for people to be looking at websites. Because we had this mad rush where everyone said, you have to have a website. I don't really know what a website is.
Yeah.
But you have to have it. You know, we went through that starting in the mid-90s.
Right.
And then mobile devices, starting with the iPhone, was the most really commercially successful one, came onto the scene. And we went through several phases there. There was a phase where people said, I can get onto the website using a mobile device, and it doesn't work. It doesn't look right. How can you fix it? And one of the common responses was, when we designed the website, we didn't think about mobile devices because they didn't exist. So in order to make it mobile friendly, we have to start from scratch. That, in fact, may be the case in some cases. When you're starting from scratch now, if you say, one of the nonprofits I'm involved with is starting from scratch, and one of the things that's in the requirements is that this brand new website and communication strategy has to be mobile friendly. It's one of the things that's not always easy to add on at the end. So that, in all fairness, that's an issue. But it's something that's an excuse at this point. It has to be mobile friendly. Mm.
You make this point in your list as well, and I want to talk about it for a few moments. And that is, you talk about graphics and how pretty should it be? You know, it seems like sometimes we make them cool and we make them look neat, but it's a lot of smoke and mirrors and not actual substance. So I assume there's a balance there.
Is that a segue into the Ben Shahn quote?
Yes, I will leave that to you to quote, yes.
Ben Shahn, the great American artist, wrote, "Form is the shape of content."
Yeah.
Which is sort of another way of saying form follows function, except I sort of like form is the shape of content. Neither comes first. They have to arise together. And all too often, I see website designs, proposals for websites or designs, and they're beautiful. And they're sketched out, you know, done in a nice, on a scrap of paper or in a drawing program, whatever. And there may be annotations that say, if you click here, this is what happens. If you click there, that is what happens. And they're beautiful. But they're not easy to use. Mm. They're pretty, as you say. And if you make something that is purely functional, that has no consideration for design, it maybe the function and the data are there, but it's not attractive. You have to do both of them, and they are interdependent. That's the main thing that Shahn said that the form follows function doesn't say, which is that it's not that one precedes the other. They have to be developed together.
And you say to use graphics for attention, whether it's, you know, background or new things. Use the graphics for tap on the shoulder.
Let people know if you have, and this applies if you're doing a website based on a content management system or blog software like WordPress, then you have actually all of these tools built in.
Yeah.
You don't have to reinvent the wheel, but I'm saying use graphics that say this is something new, this is important. And when you start, you know, if you have, you know, two or three graphics that you can throw into articles periodically, as you do that, if you step back and criticize your own work or the website, and you'll say, isn't it nice? Here's the homepage, and we have 7 articles on the homepage, and we have this nice logo that says important on all 7. Then what does it mean?
Mm.
You know, these are not technical issues. These are sort of just general. You can throw them out to non-technical people on a board, and they can run with them and say, yeah, you know, everything can't, you know, a newsletter, everything can't be equally important on a newsletter.
The
except to the author, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and you make the point of it's okay to have a boilerplate for the graphics so that it's ready to go, and it's consistent.
Yeah, it's just, you know, we know we're going to have graphics from the beginning. So if someone comes along and says, "I would like a photo with this article," you don't have to say, "Oh, what do I do?" Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you're going to have it.
So, you're optimistic? You think websites are getting better?
I didn't expect that question.
That was like the best Jack Benny pause I think I've ever heard / seen. That was great.
I think communication is getting better.
Okay.
And to the extent that websites are part of communication, yes. But I think we're watching, you know, when there's a vacuum, when there's a lousy website for an organization, Twitter and blogs and Facebook are filling the gap.
Right.
Sometimes. Sometimes it's just hopeless.
You know, and we're out of time, but you make a great point, and I wish I had thought of asking you this earlier. But it's so often when you go to look for a website, they're directing you right to their Facebook page instead of having the website, which is interesting.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily have the information that you want because it doesn't have the mobility.
But maybe, I mean, that is another conversation,
yes.
But it's
all right.
Maybe you can't fix it. Maybe you work around it.
To be continued,
yes.
Perhaps. Excellent. To find out more information, northcountryconsulting.com, northcountryconsulting.com, and we'll have the top, the 10-point list for creating a website on Jesse's page, so you can check that out, northcountryconsulting.com. Jesse, you're the best. Thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.